Hi guys, welcome back to Elephants in the Room. Sorry, I'm feeling a little weird today. It's been a stressful day, to say the least. It's been a very stressful day. It's been a stressful couple days. And I'm a procrastinator, and it's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. So this episode's supposed to be out very soon. Yeah, I'm feeling a little weird, but I'm okay. And I'm excited to be here and to talk to you guys and just kind of get out of my own head for a second, which is why I'm excited about today's episode. So today's episode is actually a Q&A / need advice episode. Which I love these because it's like I don't have to talk about myself as much. And even though I relate and pull things from like my life and my story to help answer these questions, it gets to be a little bit more about you guys. So I'm excited to do this. I hope you guys had a good week. Thank you guys so much for all the support this week on my TikTok. I have on my Elephants in the Room TikTok, I've had a couple videos do really well, and I've grown quite a bit of followers, and I'm super thankful for that. So I'm excited. I will also say, just because I know there's power in prayer, if you guys could pray for me, I guess just pray for God's plan to prevail and for me to trust him with this podcast and with my finances and with my life. So please pray for me. Anyways, okay. So I kind of messed up, and usually when I do Q&A episodes, I'll put like on the response to put if you want to be anonymous or not, because a lot of people don't want their usernames. So I forgot to do that. So if you did want your username read, I'm really sorry, but I'm just going to make the executive decision since I didn't put that. So no one put if they wanted to be anonymous or not anonymous. I'm just going to not have it be, not have the names be shown or not have the usernames be shown. And I'm just going to keep it anonymous for everyone, just in case there was anyone who didn't want their name or their username shared. So we're just going to ask the questions. But if I answer one of your guys' questions, you'll probably know who you are if you're listening to this and you put the question. Okay, let's just start. So the first question is, I'm moving to a new state. How do I create new hobbies and friends? I've moved a lot in my life. When I was younger, like I went to 8 elementary schools and I think 3 different high schools. Yeah, 3 different high schools. And then even after that, I feel like I've moved a lot. And it is really hard building and creating a community or friends or hobbies, you know, getting into activities like sports and clubs and just whatever it is that you do, and then kind of having to rebuild. So I guess one thing I want to encourage you with is that now that I have moved to all these different places and been able to make new friends in each place, I'm really grateful because I have such good friends in so many different parts of the world or so many different parts of a state, where if I would have just been in one place, I wouldn't have had all those friends. So it is really positive later in life to have created such, you know, deep bonds with multiple different people. So I'd say the first thing to do is just pray that you'll find a community of people that will uplift you, that will, keep you accountable, that will like to do some of the things that you like to do. And also pray that you'll find community or friends that will push you to grow and learn. Which I think sometimes just by nature, our relationships do that, but I would say pray. I would just say, try to get involved in things, even if it's scary. I know every time I first move to a new place, it's like weird because I feel like I'm extroverted, but I'm introverted at the same time. So a lot of the times I don't do well in like big groups. So like big church things or like bigger get-togethers or bigger parties, I kind of struggle with that. Like I'm better in small groups, like groups of like 10 people or 5 people. A lot of the times when I would move, I would kind of like avoid those things to be like, oh, like I'm fine by myself. And like, I don't know, I didn't really want to put myself out there and I didn't really want to meet new people. And even one of the times when I moved during high school, I was really upset that I had to move. I was really bitter about it because I had built such a good friend group in, I lived in Provo at the time, and I was on the soccer team, and I had all these like really good things. And so I was really angry when I moved, and I was like, I'm just gonna like not be friends with anyone. And I'm never gonna find anyone that I like as much as the people in Provo. And I was very negative, and I was very bitter and resentful that I wasn't where I had built my life. But I ended up finding amazing people when I moved to Logan, and this was in high school when I moved my sophomore year, and two of my best friends to this day I met there. And so it's like, I know it's hard, and sometimes you can feel angry. I don't know if you're moving because your parents got divorced or your parents are just relocating, or I don't know what your situation is. There's so many situations, but I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. I've done it before. I know people have done it before. And just think, when you grow up and when you, you know, move on to adult life, it's going to be so good to have multiple different areas and groups of friends from a lot of different places. But yeah, so I'd say try to get involved, even if it's scary, putting yourself out there in big groups or big things. So say yes to things. And then another thing I would say is just to, I'm trying to think of the best advice. Yeah, I just say get involved in, like, if you have a church or if you don't have a church, if there's like extracurricular activities at school, just any way you can get involved, try to get involved. If you get invited to something, go, because you never know who you're going to meet. And then I'm trying to think of what else I would say to find friends. That's a really hard one. That would be my biggest thing, is just like get involved. And, you know, if you meet someone in a class or somewhere during school that you like, just be like, hey, I'm new. Like, I would love to meet your friends or get involved. Just be vulnerable with people and share that you want friends and that you're looking for friends. I know social media is kind of a way to find friends too, but it's kind of hard because it's based on location. But yeah, I would just say try to get involved. And then as far as new hobbies, don't be scared to do stuff by yourself as well. So obviously get involved as much as you can, but don't, not having friends let stop you from like doing what you love. So like, if you love to go shopping, go shopping. If you love coffee and to go read the Bible, go and do that by yourself. If you love going to movies, go watch a movie by yourself. Like, don't be afraid to do things by yourself. There's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing to be embarrassed of, and you never know who you're going to meet along the way. So that would be my answer for that question. The next question is, do you have any tips for growing your podcast? It's so difficult. Yes, I do have a lot of tips. It's so funny because I was listening to Emma Chamberlain's podcast the other day on the plane. It was so good. It was about how a lot of people are starting podcasts, but a lot of people don't last. Like, once they start a podcast, usually people don't make it past, like, I don't know what she said, the 7th episode or something. Because podcasting is actually harder than you think. Like, I think even me, when I first wanted to start a podcast, I was like, this is going to be so easy. Like, I just get to talk, and I love to talk, and like, this is great. And even though it is easy, there are easy parts of it. Like, this part is easier. The easiest part, my favorite part, is just talking to you guys. There's a lot of hard parts, and trying to market the podcast, editing, the behind the scenes of everything that goes into the audio and the video and everything. That's all really challenging. It's also really hard because you feel like imposter syndrome all the time. Like, you want to be bringing value to people, and so it's hard to figure out what to talk about, what topics to talk about. And it's also hard to have to get on here and be really vulnerable and honest, maybe when you're not in the best place. So it's like, it does take a lot of like self work, I guess, depending on what kind of podcast you have. But all of that to say, I would say, and I really stand by this, I think the most important thing to do when you start a podcast is to have a video element. When I first started, I was actually going to do it without video because I was so overwhelmed by the idea of the video, and I felt like I wasn't going to be able to like master it and do it because it's a lot more work than just doing audio. But I was like, I need to do this, and I'm so grateful that I did, because I genuinely don't believe that my podcast would be at where it's at. And again, I have so much room to grow, but most of the growth that I've had on my podcast has been from short clips that have performed well on one of my social media platforms. Obviously word of mouth and different things like that. Like, if you're putting out something that's quality, it's amazing. You're going to have it grow even if you don't put out videos. But I would say that I think like marketing yourself with short clip videos from the podcast is so important, even if you don't post a YouTube video of the podcast. And it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be crazy. I literally record on my iPhone. I actually have a camera that I got down the line once I had, I'd been doing the podcast for about 6 months. I'm like, I'm going to get a camera and like advance this and all these things. And I literally don't even use my camera. I use my iPhone. I just prefer it. It's simple. It's easy. It's efficient. So don't be intimidated. If you need help, send me a DM. And I can also do like a video or something on it, kind of explaining more in depth how I record and edit and everything. But I just put my iPhone up, turn on my Logic and do it and sync them. And yeah, so I would say short clips. I feel like that's the best way to grow your podcast, in my personal opinion. And then also just like, as much as it sucks and as much as social media sucks, like trying to do things on social media with your podcast, even if you don't have short clips of your podcast, making little like TikTok videos about your podcast. I think that's probably the best way to grow, in my opinion. The next question is, they wanted advice. Being in a relationship, but knowing it's not the right one, but things are good. I guess my first question would be, how do you know that it's not the right one? And my second question would be, is staying somewhere that you're comfortable, but that you know you don't belong, worth losing out on finding the right person who is going to be here forever? Like, it's just hard. Like, I know relationships, like, you can get comfortable and it can feel like it's easier to just stay. But when you really think about it, the longer that you stay in that relationship, the longer you're holding yourself back from the right love and from the right person and from the person that is going to be here forever. And so it's like, when you think about it like that, it's like, yeah, it may be good. It may be comfortable. There may be good parts of it, but it's like, if you know that that person is not who you're going to be with, whether that's by you're choosing that or there's abuse or for whatever reason, you know, your standards don't align, whatever it is, whatever reason, you know that that person isn't for you, you're only hurting yourself and them by staying, because you're wasting their time and you're also wasting your time, and you are literally preventing both of you guys from healing, moving forward, and then eventually finding the right person for each of you as individuals. And so it's like, even if it's good, it's like, it doesn't mean that it's right. And like, if you know the truth, it's like, it's just really selfish to do that to another person and also to do that to yourself. So I would say, as hard as it is to walk away, take whatever baby steps you can, talk to someone, talk to a therapist, and just know that singleness is not a bad thing. Like, my season of singleness, it was one of the best times in my life, because like, I genuinely don't think that I could be in the relationship I'm in now or have it be what it is if I hadn't had that time of singleness in my life, where I was able to build, you know, self-security, independence, a relationship with Jesus Christ, learn to love myself, learn to get to know myself and the things I love. So just don't be afraid of singleness. Singleness is such a good, positive thing. The next question is, what was the thing that kept you going even through the hardest parts of your life? As lucrative or negative as this is to say, I think when I was young, I simply just didn't know better. And it's funny, because like, looking back, I can see how like my life was really traumatic and scary and dangerous and filled with so much just trauma and so many things. But at the time, it's like, that was normal to me. That was my normal. Because I had never experienced anything healthy in my life, healthy parents, a healthy childhood. Like, everything about my childhood was really, bad, I guess you could say. I mean, there were good parts, but all that to say, I think there was an ignorance that I had. And I also think that part of that was just God's protection over my heart and my life, leading me up to meeting him. But once I started to kind of see the truth and see what was actually happening after I got my divorce, during those really deep, dark times, the only thing that did get me through was God. and was that relationship with Jesus Christ. When I realized my purpose and that there was hope in life, because genuinely at that time, if I wouldn't have found Jesus, I don't know where I'd be, because I was like, if this is how hard life is, and if this is how painful this is, and there's no purpose in being here, like, I don't want to be here. And so I would say that Jesus was really what got me through, and just my faith and my hope in him, and, you know, being able to be with him one day. Now all of this pain is temporary. So that is what I feel like got me through. Okay. Next question. This one's a good one. How to deal with an ex trying to work their way into your life again when they are a toxic person. I feel like I have a pretty strong stance on this, and I've actually talked about it before, but I really don't think you can be friends with your ex. Obviously, like, there are very, very rare situations where I feel like you can have them actively in your life, especially initially or right after the breakup. And maybe that's if you dated when you were really young and you were always more of friends, and maybe you've had a couple of years and time apart. Maybe you were always just better as friends and you liked each other, but you were always more like friends. I don't know. Like, I think there's like specific situations, or maybe there was nothing toxic or bad or abusive that happened and you had a really healthy relationship, but you just realized you guys weren't right for each other. Like, yes, I think there are very few rare circumstances where you can be friends with an ex. In my experience, I've never been able to with any of mine. Like, maybe some from high school, but like, I think that they're your ex for a reason. And I think that you will not be able to heal and move on until you have no contact with them. And I like stand by that. Like, and I believe this too, at a time that you can like still have them in your life and you can still talk to them and you can handle it. If you were in a toxic relationship or were with anyone who hurt you or was abusive in any way, or even if you weren't, even if the relationship was good and you're heartbroken and you broke up, I just truly believe you will not be able to heal and move on until they are completely out of your life, like completely. And maybe down the line in a couple of years, you'd want to be friends with them, but you also have to think about it. It's like, it's just kind of weird to be friends with your ex. It's one thing to be on good terms and to be acquaintances or whatever, follow each other on social media, maybe, but like to actively have a friendship with them, it's like leaving that door open and closing the door to the possibility of someone new. Cause I'm sorry, I don't think most healthy people are okay with you having an active, close relationship with your ex when you're in a new relationship with them. It's just weird. Again, I think there's very rare circumstances where it can work, and it can be healthy. But if that person was toxic, I don't really think so. So I guess I would say, if they are trying to re-enter your life, love yourself enough to close that door and love yourself enough to know that even though you love them, it's not going to work. And it's only going to hurt you and them by continuing to leave that door open and continuing to let the toxic cycles continue, even if you're not fully together. Cause I think there'll be a part of you that will always love the person or care about them in that way. So you just need to heal. You just need space. You need time. So I'd say close that door. So set those boundaries. If that means blocking them, if that means removing them as a follower, if that means setting boundaries as to not, you know, going to the same places that you guys used to go to, whatever it is, removing their family, their friends from social media, maybe you mute their friends and family, maybe you don't fully remove them as followers. But you just have to do whatever you need to do to heal. And I think that takes no contact and complete removal of their life and the life you had with them to create your own life and build your own things that you love. Like, I just really think it takes full removal. So I would just say, set those boundaries and communicate, you know, if they're reaching out to you, just be like, hey, I care about you, but I can't do this. I want to heal. I want to move on. I want to be happy. And I want the same for you. And if they continue to disrespect those boundaries, I would say that's when you need to take it to a more serious level of removing them as a follower or deleting their number, or even blocking them if you need to. So I just say you need to take care of you. You really do. So that's what I would say. And even if you think, oh, maybe we'll get back together in the future, Number one, you don't know that. Number two, you don't even know if you want that truly. You may want that in the state of heartbreak that you're in. But when you actually like heal and move on from that situation, you're going to be able to see it for what it's worth and see the relationship for what it actually was without rose colored glasses. But in order to do that, you have to be completely removed from them. So even if you were to get back together in the future, you still need complete removal from them until you can like see clearly. Okay. Next question is, what do you do when you notice you are not doing well? This one's a hard one. I think the first step is like accepting that, which I think can be easy to do. I think where I get trapped is if I know I'm not doing well emotionally, mentally, physically, if I know that there's something that I need to change or ways that I'm hurting myself or ways that I'm hurting others, when I start to see something, the first thing that I want to do is just like numb myself, like numb it out. And that could be just like ignoring those feelings, ignoring the truth, scrolling on my phone, doing anything to just not be in the present and not have to face and deal with what's going on. So that's what I naturally do, which isn't good. But once I'm able to kind of get out of that state and start to slowly hit rock bottom in whatever way it is, like feeling like crap or mentally not feeling good, or like sometimes it takes me kind of like staying in that bad place for a while until I'm down, down, down. And then I'm like, I need to get out of this. And I would say the first thing that I do if I'm not doing well is I call out to God. Like, that's the first step always. It's just like, I need you, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been trying to do this on my own. I'm sorry that I've been trying to numb these emotions, but I need to deal with them. So you really need to deal with those emotions and whatever is going on in any way that you're not doing well. Like, you need to address it head on and you need to get to the root of it. And I think a lot of times when we go through hard things or when we start to see that we're not doing well, we want to nitpick like the effects of something rather than getting to the source of it. And so we want to be like, oh, well, I just need to like go to the gym, or I just need to wake up earlier, or I just need to stop talking to this person, or I just need to do that. And I think a lot of those things are good. But I think usually you have to get down to the root of that emotion of why are you in this position? Why can't you get out of bed? Why are you feeling insecure? Why are you emotionally struggling? And when you can get to the source of it, you can start to validate yourself and validate the hurt that you're feeling. And then once you validate yourself, you can start taking steps to get out of that place. So that's what I would say that I do or try to do. How do you heal from your past trauma? I think I'm still trying to figure this one out. You guys know I'm a huge advocate for therapy. I think therapy is so incredible. And I know there's controversy on therapy, especially as a Christian. But I personally believe if you can find someone that either respects your beliefs, understands your beliefs, or believes in the same thing as you, that can kind of help you to be able to make sure you're honoring God with what you're doing in therapy, but also be able to have someone physically here on earth that can kind of help walk you through some of your trauma or trials or circumstances. And I think that God blesses us with therapists for a reason. And even if you're not a believer, therapy is great. I think therapy is so helpful. It's an unbiased person who is fully there for you. That is literally their goal, is to help you live a healthier, happier life and to heal. And so it's like, that's all that they're there for. They have no bias. They have no motive, nothing. Like, they're just there to support and help you. So as long as you can find a good therapist who's knowledgeable, knows about psychology, knows about trauma, knows about the effects of trauma, they're going to be able to slowly walk you through how to have understanding. And I think when we have understanding for the ways the things that have happened to us have affected us mentally and physically, it can help us start to heal, because acceptance is the first step. And then, you know, grieving, going through the grieving process, healing, all those things. So I'd say a therapist is really important. I would also say Jesus. You guys know I love Jesus. You know, he was a big part of my healing journey. And then I would also just say a lot of self-care and a lot of self-discovery. I think that when we start to see trauma that we've been through, there's a lot of death, I think, in the trauma, not physical death, but like things that die off, whether it's relationships or circumstances, or there's certain wounds. It's a lot of darkness. And a lot of times we lose a lot through those traumatic events. And so I think self-care and self-discovery and learning how to love yourself and do things for yourself and take care of yourself brings life to your life, if that makes sense. It like brings things to life and brings light into your life. And so I think doing those things helps you unattach from your old life and unattach from the trauma that you went through, because you have a new life to focus on and to love and to be present in. But when we're so caught up in the past and we're living in the past, we haven't built anything new for ourselves. Sometimes it's really hard to let it go. So that's what I would say. Someone said, when are you getting a dog? I'm pretty sure pretty soon. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think when me and my boyfriend get back from tour, pretty soon after that, cross your fingers. I think I'll have a puppy in the next like 3 months, but cross your fingers for me. I want to get the cute little teacup poodles. They're so cute. They only grow to like 5 pounds. Look them up online. They're the cutest thing. They're literally, you can hold them like in the palm of your hand, and they're just the cutest and sweetest thing ever. And they're hypoallergenic. I can travel with them. So it's a whole thing. But yeah, that's the kind of dog I want to get. Losing a friendship that you thought would last forever. This one's a hard one. Friendships are really hard. And I've actually had a lot of friendships that have not worked out the way I wanted, or I've slowly, you know, I've had some where people, we've slowly fizzled apart. And then I've also had some people that I've completely lost as friends. It's really hard, because when you get close to someone and you develop a friendship like that, it's almost like a partner. You share a lot with them. You're very vulnerable with them. You create a bond, and it's really hard losing people. But I guess to encourage you, there are some people in your life that are only supposed to be there for a season. And I know that that's kind of hard to accept. Like if you were to have told me that when I was a little girl, I would have been really sad. But, you know, I think that some people in our life really are only meant to be there for a season. And in that season, they could have been such a great thing that brought you joy and peace and helped comfort you. But also they could have been someone that was, you know, good initially at the start, but then towards the end, they hurt you and they betrayed you and they made you sad, or you guys grew apart and that brought you sadness or depression or confusion or anger. But the good thing is that regardless of what that person brought you, if it was comfort and goodness and all these things, that's great. Maybe that's what God knew you needed at that time in your life. But if they brought other things and it didn't end well, maybe God needed to use that to take your character to the next level. And maybe you learned a really valuable lesson from that said relationship or friendship. And you wouldn't be able to handle the next friendship or the next thing in your life, because that was what was leading up to that. And it gave you the tools and the proper character to be able to have the good things that are coming for you. So I think, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I think that it's all leading up to other things. And so sometimes if we hadn't gone through that or lost that friendship, it wouldn't lead us to the next thing. And we needed to go through that to prepare. So I know that's kind of like a sad answer, that, you know, some people are only in your life for a season. But the good thing you can always look at is there's always a positive way to look at it, and a way that you've grown or learned or whatever it was. It doesn't have to be a negative thing, I guess. But yeah, I would just encourage you that you're going to meet so many people in your life that you're going to love, and you're going to have so many good friends in your life. And I know if it feels like that's the only person who you're ever going to be friends with, that's just not true. Yeah, like your life's not over yet. So I encourage you to, you can be sad and grieve the friendship, but don't let it hold you back from the joy that God has for you and the joy that future friendships have for you, if that makes any sense. Okay, I'm only going to do a couple more. But the next one is, my ex cheated on me and it's been 2 months. I still think of the good times. How do I move on? First of all, I just want to encourage you that the way you're feeling is so normal, and there's no shame or guilt in loving someone who hurt you like that or thinking of the good times. I encourage you to look up the 5 stages of grief. I talked about those in one of my recent episodes, and I've talked about them a lot. I won't get into the depth of them, but one of the stages that you go through is bargaining. And I think a lot of the times when we bargain, we like to romanticize and idealize the good parts of a relationship, and we kind of ignore the bad parts. And so it's not bad to acknowledge the good parts or acknowledge the ways that that person made you feel loved or valuable. But with that being said, you have to also look at the truth and at the bad parts. And those good parts that you love and look at, you can have them with someone else. And trust me, I didn't believe that, but I'm living proof of that. Like, sometimes we hold on to relationships for so long thinking that we'll never find something like it or like the good parts. But I mean, if you were cheated on, like, that is just, it's a lack of respect. It's a lack of character on their end, and you just deserve more than that. And I don't know the depth of your relationship and all the details, but I would just say, I just encourage you to, as much as you highlight the good things, I want you to also highlight the bad things. I've heard this tip before and I've done this before, but you can literally write out every bad thing that they ever did, or every bad thing, every bad fruit from your relationship, or every way that they ever made you feel bad. Just as much as you think about the good times, write out every single bad thing that happened. And I think sometimes that helps you to kind of like, be like, oh, okay, I see that there's bad too. Now, as far as moving on, that's so complex. And I feel like I have to save that for maybe a full in-depth episode. But I encourage you, and I just hope that you know you're not alone, and healing and moving on from a breakup is really hard. But I would say to try to not focus on as much of the good times, write down all the bad times. So yeah, that would be my answer. Okay, next question is, what was it like moving to a new state with no backup plan? Scary. Really scary. I feel like this season of my life, God has really taken me out of control of my life. And I'm someone who's always tried to control my circumstances and create a lot of security for myself and my life. I'm not someone who likes to rely on people. I'm not someone who likes to do anything not knowing the outcome, because I have such bad abandonment issues. But I feel like this season of my life, he's really taken me into this place of just like a lot of faith and a lot of just trusting in him and trusting in the people around me and relying on him and relying on the people around me. And that's been really scary, but it's also been really good. So yeah, I would say scary. Okay. The next and last question is how to be happy. I wanted to talk about this one, 'cause like, this is one I think I'm still trying to figure out. And, I also just think the idea of like happiness and like the standard and expectation we put on ourselves is really interesting. And I think happiness and joy are two different things. I would just say, I think a huge part of joy or happiness, even though I think they're a little different, is also sadness, because you just can't have one without the other. So I think part of being able to have joy and have happiness is also accepting and welcoming in the sadness at times. And I think there's times when you can be sad, but that doesn't mean that you don't have joy or that you're not grateful. And so I would say like pushing away those sad emotions aren't necessarily the best, because that's what helps us even identify and appreciate moments of joy and moments of happiness. But yeah, I would say gratitude is a big thing. Look at your life. Look at the ways that you're blessed. Look at the people around you. Look at all the things you have. Don't look at the things you don't have. Don't look at the things that you're not in control of. Focusing on the present moment really helps, because when we're looking ahead, it's just going to make us anxious. And when we're looking behind, it's going to make us have bitterness and resentment and confusion. And just a lack of acceptance. And so I just say, you just need to look right ahead of you, not too far forward, not too far back, and just try to do things that bring you joy. Try to do things that you know are good for you. Try to do things that you know may be hard initially, but ultimately bring longevity and long-term joy rather than short-term pleasure. So yeah, those are some ways I would say you can be happy. But yeah, those are all the questions. I wish I could get to all of them. You guys put in so many. You guys are the best. But this episode would be way, way too long and you guys would get bored of listening to me. So I'll have to save them for another Q&A episode. If you guys like this kind of episode, let me know. I've done, I think, one or two of them every season. And we're on season 4. So if you guys want me to do another one, I would love to. But yeah, let me know if you guys actually enjoy these kinds of episodes. Anyways, well, like I said, guys, feel a little weird today, but that's okay. I hope you guys have a good week next week. I hope that if you're going through something, that you see breakthrough this week, you have moments of joy. And I guess I'll just close this episode out. So how you guys can support me, you can follow me on all my social media. Nicole.Donna. You can follow me on my Elephants in the Room social media. So it's just all Elephants in the Room. I have a TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the things. Not a Twitter or a Threads for Elephants in the Room, but maybe I should make one. And then you can also leave this podcast a rating, a review, share it on your social media, share it with a friend, leave a comment, shoot me a DM. All of that means so much more to me than you guys know. And I'm so grateful for you guys. Feel a little weird in a weird headspace, but other than that, I'm happy to be here. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. And I will close this out by saying, what elephants are in your room? My name is Nicole, and I'll talk to you guys next week.